What practical advice do you have for practicing hospitality across religious lines? What would you tell your church? How do you do this?
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of United We Fall. And this was Pastor Kevin Singer, who was the moderator of the Truth Forum, which took place in North Carolina University between Pastor J.D. Greer and Imam Omar Suleiman. We already heard the answer of that question by Pastor J.D. Greer. And once again, here was the first question from the audience. What practical advice do you have for practicing hospitality across religious lines? What would you tell your people of the mosque? And without further ado, here is the answer of Imam Omar Suleiman.
So I think that this is actually one of the cases where, you know, you specifically brought up the church. I think this is one of the cases where people have actually far preceded institutions. The institutional movement has been a lot slower. If you talk to Muslim and Christian students, I think, on campuses, evangelicals and Muslim students on campuses, I think that those that have gotten to know each other, have been in classes and things of that sort, have already sort of forged some of those relationships and those friendships because it's natural.
I don't think neither Pastor J.D. Greer or Imam Omar Suleiman really understood the question. Why? Because the question was about hospitality across religious lines. We're talking about food and drinks. We are talking about what is forbidden and what is not forbidden of food and drink between Islam and Christianity. In any way, Imam Omar Suleiman told his audience that we are way behind, because guess what? Individuals are doing a great job to practice that hospitality. As we see that between Muslim students and evangelical students on campus, those who have been communicating with each other. Yes, indeed, Imam Omar, I guarantee you. Because as I travel all over this country, and as I meet with parents whom their children went to college, some of these students who came from Christian evangelical homes fall in love with the Muslim students. As a matter of fact, that's why, in the first place, these Muslim students came to America. What the American people do not understand is that the great danger of this unity, which Pastor J.D. Greer, Pastor Kevin Singer, and Imam Omar Suleiman is pushing forward, is the danger of the fall of Christian students in the romantic love with Muslim students. And that's where we see Christian men converting to Islam to marry the Muslim ladies, and Muslim men marrying Christian and Jewish ladies. Because in Islam, it's okay for Muslim men to marry an infidel, and the babies are born Muslims. And this is the result of the dialogue which turned to friendship and ended with marriage. That's why hundreds of thousands of Muslim students come to America every year. You may think they're here just to have an education. And 3-4 years later, when they finish their degrees, they leave and they go back to where they came from. No, they're here for good. They come as students and they fall in love, marrying our own children and staying here in America. And I believe by the time the American people realize this system, it will be too late. This is a loving invasion of America. Falling in love and marrying our children, having Muslim babies, and the circle of life will keep going. Someday, millions of babies in America will be born simply because of this friendship which Imam Omar Suleiman is bragging about, which already is taking place all over our universities. And the church is a little bit behind, and it's time for the church to open its doors, especially the evangelical churches, to allow these dialogues to take place so the Muslims can take over America from all sides. Well, let's continue a little bit more with the answer of Imam Omar Suleiman. That is when he said,
so I think that there are a few layers to this. One of them is that obviously creating more spaces for dialogue. The greatest success of a conversation like this one in my mind is that it creates more conversations in different places. And for those that have already engaged the conversation, they move to the next level, which is where I think there's multi-faith cooperation for good things, that people actually come together to usher things that they wish to see in society. And there is concrete action towards that. And so for me, if this conversation, if someone's watching this online or some group, student group takes this and said, you know, let's create this conversation, recreate this conversation in a different space, that's wonderful. That's a success, because I think we underestimate how unlikely conversations like this one are in most parts of the world.
Once again, let us analyze what Imam Omar Sliman is saying. He's talking about different layers. These layers is very important to show hospitality across other religious lines, evangelical and Islam. The first layer he's talking about is creating more space for dialogues to take place. Yes, indeed. When Eve had the dialogue with the serpent, sin came to this world. You have to have a dialogue. The second layer is multi-phase cooperation for good things. I do not know what good things can come out of Muslim-Christian dialogue. The problem, my friends, is most students on campus, as it is in the case of most ministers all over our churches in America, do not have a clue what Islam is or why Muslims are here in the first place. Islam is not a faith. Therefore, there is no multi-phase cooperation for good things. Islam is a savage cult. If we can understand that, that will end the dialogue, which is the first layer for the destruction of our church and our great country, America. And then Imam Omar Sliman is given advice. As he said, for me, if this conversation is being watched on the internet, and trust me, the devil will bring youth, and Muslims already have the agenda for the interfaith movement. That's why they're here in the first place. As Imam Omar desires that the dialogue, the multi-phase cooperation will continue to grow from one university to another. The important thing is he needs this dialogue and this multi-phase cooperation to continue to grow all over America. This is like Satan is speaking to every Eve in America and is asking her to take a bite out of the fruit, which is forbidden. Well, guess what will happen in the end? We're going to have a Muslim country of the United States of America. That's exactly what is coming to America. Imam Omar ended this by saying, I think we underestimate how unlikely conversation like this one are in most parts of the world. This is true. You cannot have this dialogue in Egypt. You cannot have this dialogue in Saudi Arabia. You cannot have this dialogue in any Muslim country in planet Earth, only in America. This system worked very well in Europe, and now they have plenty of Muslims there. That's why they do not need this dialogue anymore all over Europe. And now the Muslims are repeating the same method here in America. Yes, indeed. That is how America will fall from within. This is the unity which will bring the destruction to America. Now, my friends, I want you to listen carefully to the testimony which Imam Omar Sliman will share with us concerning his visit to Mecca while he is performing the pilgrimage of Hajj, that is practicing pillar number 5 of Islam.
I get stopped in Hajj, all right, in Hajj. I'm in Mecca. I'm going to the Kaaba and people stop me and say, hey, some guy from a country that I can't even probably pronounce says, hey, I saw you on the interfaith video, right? And that's the thing. Like, people are, you know, what we have the ability to inspire here is special and should not be lost upon us. The last thing I will say, silence is deafening. Solidarity is so strong in these moments.
Wow. So what do we learn about Imam Omar Sliman? He's a famous guy. What is he famous for? He's famous for conducting interfaith meetings like this one, which Imam Omar Sliman will not call interfaith meeting, but he will simply call it dialogue, because he knows that phrase makes evangelical in America nervous. That was his own words in a previous broadcast. He's famous for conducting interfaith meetings. And here we go. People in America will be watching that video as I watch it myself. And here I am responding to it. But others will love it. Others will repeat it. And in the end of the story, we're going to have what? We're not going to have any more silence. We're going to speak out loud, because silence is deafening. And solidarity, as Imam Omar Sliman said, is so strong in those moments. What's solidarity? What relationship is between darkness and light, between falsehood and truth? But you can kiss the truth goodbye. You can kiss all the facts of Christianity goodbye because Pastor J.D. Greer and Pastor Kevin Singer were willing to compromise our Christianity, to compromise the Word of God, which warned us not to have this dialogue. And I will recall your attention to 2 John verses 7 to 11. These two ministers and others like them all over America are committing the sin of being anti-Christ. And not only these ministers are destroying their credibility and their reputation, they're actually destroying the church itself. As Imam Omar Suleiman already said, these videos online will be watched by the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, and many students all over America, Baptist and others, will be copying this model, and you will see the growth of the interfaith meetings all over America. After all, Muslims are following the deception of Allah, and we, the naive Americans, are getting sucked into these creative methods of Muslims taking over America. Well, let's listen to the next fact, which Imam Omar Suleiman would be sharing with his audience. That is when he stated,
You know, the fact that you said that we grieved with you, we came out, we grieved with you. It's very, very admirable. You know, Botham John was a young black man in Dallas, Texas, who was murdered in his apartment by a Dallas police officer. And he was a choir singer. He was as devoted of a Christian as I know. Or I did not know, but I've come to know his family very well and get very close to his family. Some of the theological discussions be had between me and his family, I mean, they're an incredibly devoted, faithful people. And the silence of white churches in Dallas was deafening for a devoted Christian, where the court cases said he would be singing his choir songs in his shower every morning. That's what his neighbors would hear. And so solidarity is so important, where people like what you mentioned, will step out of their comfort zone and then push the community to say, look, people are hurting. We need to go listen to people that are hurting. Just because it's not hurting us right now doesn't mean that we get to turn a blind eye to that. That's not Christ-like. And pushing the communities to do that, I think, is so important.
Don't you love it when Imam Omar Suleiman talks about Christ-like? I mean, what in the world does Christ-like have to do with a Muslim Brotherhood jihadi imam in America? This is not somebody who's deceived into Islam. He is a great deceiver as a leader for the Muslims in America. He's talking about that case in Dallas about a young black man by the name Botham John, who was shot in his own apartment by a white police officer who went inside his apartment thinking that she's actually going in her own apartment. And because she saw that black gentleman in her apartment, she shot him, thinking he is an intruder in her own apartment. It was an accident, no more or less than an accident. And if this was the case anywhere else, and if the victim in that case was a white man, she would not have these 90-some years as punishment for her crime, because obviously it is an accident. I do not know the circumstances of the crime here, but logically it is an accident. But notice something very important. Imam Omar Suleiman is talking about the family. I will quote his own words when he said, some of the theological discussion I have had with his family, they are a very devoted, faithful people. I'm sorry to tell you, that is not true. Because if they are very devoted, faithful people, they will do like the Amish did. They will do like many Christians in America who lost loved ones did. They would have forgiven the white officer, and they will not celebrate the great punishment, as we have seen Botham John's mother celebrated the harsh punishment of the court on that white officer as she raised her hand shouting, God is good. But what is important to me about that case is this. Imam Omar Suleiman got involved in that case. He actually had a theological discussion with the family of Botham John. Why? Because he was there to Muslimize this family, to lead this family to Islam. And that's exactly why Muslims get involved in these cases. And in the court, the Black Life leader shouted, yes, Black Life matters. You see, Muslims are working with Black Lives Matter in America. Imam Omar Sleeman will continue to hunt for any family who will lose a loved one in shooting, accidentally or not. And Imam Omar Sleeman is using this case right now to shame the Christian church. Yes, indeed, that is his own words. He said, "And the silence of the white church in Dallas was deafening for a devoted Christian," where the court case said he would be singing his choir songs in the shower every morning. Imam Omar knows for sure that Passim John was a Christian man, and he knows for sure that his family is devoted. He also knows that the white church of Dallas did not get involved in that case. I mean, this is so unbelievable. How can a Muslim jihadi imam come here in this dialogue to put shame on the Christian church? How does he know that the church did not reach out to the family? But that is the beauty of having dialogue in America, that Muslims can use all circumstances by twisting whatever information they have to make it sound like, oh, Muslims are reaching out to the black Christians while white churches are not. Can't you see the level of deception Imam Omar Sleeman is using here? And now Imam Omar Sleeman will preach to the entire group about the solidarity. It is to go out of your comfort zone and to reach out to the one who is hurting, to cry with them, to give them your shoulder that they cry on your shoulder. Wow, what a great teaching. But sadly, we cannot find any of this in the Quran. Yes, indeed, Muslims celebrate the death of an infidel while they're reaching out to the family of the infidel to convince them that Islam is a way. That is the entire reality of Islam. There is no comfort in Islam. There is no crying with those who are crying and laughing with those who laugh. That is the teaching of Jesus in the Bible. But you cannot find that in Islam, especially when it's practiced against the infidels. Unless it's just one way or another to bring deception, to deceive the people of the West about what Islam is and what Islam is not. I do not believe in real Islam. Muslims get hurt to see a black Christian get shot by a white officer, but that's exactly what Muslims will do in America. They will get involved in every case they can to bring division between black and white. That's exactly what Linda Sarsour announced in one of her speeches. We need to be united with all the minorities in America. That's how we can defeat the conservative in America. Because we as Muslims cannot do that alone. I wish we can see the big picture of what Muslims are doing and what unity they are looking for here in America. Finally, Imam Omar Sleeman is giving a wonderful advice to his Muslim audience. That is when he stated,
"And the same is true for the Muslim community, by the way. You can't just hurt for Muslim issues, all right? If you're hurting for something that's happening only thousands of miles away in a country that your parents came from, or maybe even your home country, which you should hurt for that, you better be hurting for the homeless within the vicinity of your own home and your own neighborhoods, and those that are suffering from historical bigotry in your own homes and your own neighborhoods, and be committed towards that as well. So let's actually activate ourselves to being present. And being present does not mean speaking. Being present means going there and giving someone a shoulder to cry on and just saying, I'm just here to be here. I'm not here to say anything. I don't have to speak. I don't have to say anything. I'm just going to be present and listen to you and let you know that I hear you and that your pain means something to me, either as an individual or as a community."
Wow, what great advice. I believe I'm just listening to another Southern Baptist minister, not Imam Omar Sleeman, once again, because this advice which he gave to his Muslim audience does not fit with Islam. I wish Imam Omar Sleeman would show me one verse in the Quran or one of the sayings of Muhammad in his final years after becoming a strong militant man to prove to us that his teaching here is Islamic. This is propaganda Islam. And trust me, when Imam Omar Sleeman went and met with the family of Bosim John, he did not meet with them quietly and give them his shoulder to cry on. He actually had dialogues and theological discussion with them. And that's when he came up with the statement that they were devoted, faithful people. If we do not wake up and learn the truth about Islam, trust me, we will have unity with such Muslims, and this will bring the destruction of America. And to continue our study of United We Fall, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.